Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Framber Valdez on the mound yesterday, complete dog. Second start of the season, there was initially thought that Framber might not even pitch this year after he dislocated his finger in spring training. He goes out there, and you could hear and you could kind of feel just the excitement in the air with Framber on the mound. A lot of times there are athletes that they just have that, get the bell ready, that it factor. That charisma. You feel like when they go out there, they're leaving it out there. You can tell that they want it. He's just got that pit bull mentality.
Good gravy.
Framber Valdez is that guy. And the crowd can just kind of feel it. It's easy to feel it with Deshaun Watson. It's easy to feel it with Jose Altuve. It's easy to feel it when a guy is elite. But Framber Valdez, just listen to the crowd yesterday when he threw his final pitch. And he started out the game with a 31-pitch first inning.
Wasn't great.
And then over the course of the next six, he only throws 71 pitches. Mm-hmm. He gets his 10th strikeout to end his outing. And you could just kind of feel it at the juice box. You could just kind of feel the crowd, the Houston crowd, the full crowd, gravitating towards the man that I am calling a total dog. So he walks to the dugout. The Astros end up getting the dub 2-1. By the way, this base running sucks. It's got to be the worst base running team in the league. Ran out of an out with Bregman on second base and Yordan Alvarez at the plate. Much needed insurance, especially with this bullpen, because it got interesting. But base running, it continues to be kind of the mole on the face of Cindy Crawford. But Framber Valdez and what this rotation have done, and we've gotten seven straight starts now from this rotation, allowing one run, 43 innings pitched, seven runs, 1.47 ERA. I don't think we look at this rotation and say this is an elite rotation, because you don't have that top end guy, you don't have that Verlander. Mm-hmm. But with what this team is doing and when they are doing it, I think that's the most important thing. It's got to at least get a little bit of your attention, John. And you also got to take into account that you've pushed Christian Javier back in the bullpen. You got to think Garcia is going to hang around. Odorizzi, McCullers is going to come back. This squad is playing their best ball. And I just don't know. Maybe this rotation is kind of underrated as we sit right now.
I'll put it this way. If you fancy yourself as a potential World Series contender, almost every team that's a potential World Series contender, in order to get over the hump, is looking for that ace starting pitcher to really put them over. The Astros did it. They did it with Verlander, and that's what got them over the top. I mean, I wouldn't say no, but I'm good with this. I'm David Culley. If we go with this rotation, I'm good. I mean, if we go with this rotation for the Astros, I'm good. Sure, bullpen, sure. You know, the outfield, maybe defensively needs some help here and there. But I don't care what their names are at this point. You pointed it out. Starting pitching has gone 6 innings, giving up 1 run. 4, 1 run. 5 and a third, 1 run. 8, 1 run. 6, 1 run. 7, 1 run. And then yesterday, Fromber, 7 with 1 run. That can get you there. That the starting pitching can get you there. I don't care who their names are. And McCullers isn't even back yet. I'm good.
So what are your expectations? I mean, I think let's lay out the expectations, because we talked about the Texans' expectations. I don't think too many people are expecting too much. You look at the Astros. You've been in the ALCS every year since 2017. You don't have that top-end ace for the first time. I mean, I know that different guys in the rotation can look like aces at certain times, but you're not going to have anyone in Cy Young contention or anything like that. What exactly are the expectations for this Astros squad? Because to me, I think this team is more than capable of going to a World Series. I truly do. I didn't necessarily believe that at the start of the season. I think when
maybe not even 2 weeks ago.
When the playoffs come around, I mean, you're going to have to face some top end aces around the league. But given the fact that these guys, in any given moment, can pitch like aces, and given the fact you're going to have these long relief guys out of the pen. When the postseason does begin, what are your expectations? Because I think absolutely this is a World Series caliber squad that could win the American League. I'm very, very high on what the Astros got going on right now. And as the second third of the season begins, we're less than 3 hours or 2 hours away from the Astros going for the sweep against the Red Sox, one of the best teams in the league. They're starting to peak. They're starting to play their best baseball at the right time.
My expectations are to be there at the end. Now, look, once you get to the postseason, the environment changes. And as much as I wouldn't expect Luis Garcia or Framber Valdez to really blink, these guys, they just have that toughness. Just look at yesterday's game. Was it 31 pitches in the first inning that he gave up? The Red Sox are really threatening to maybe even take him out of the game early. What did he do? He responded. These two guys have that hunger. They pitch hungry. Like they need to prove something every time out.
The hell was the bell there?
They have a hunger is not a cliche, is it?
He's hungry. Wants it.
I said they play with his hunger.
He just wants it more.
That other guys that are maybe more established.
He's just got that will to win.
No.
He leaves it all out there.
No.
He doesn't cheat the game.
Do you not think they have a different approach than some of the more established guys?
Who? Fromber?
Fromber and Luis.
They just have like a fearless. They have like a fearless like presence.
That's
about
my
them.
Point.
They almost seem naive, but it doesn't seem like something that's gonna drift away. They almost seem naive and they almost seem carefree.
You. They have an I will show you.
It's carefree, isn't it?
I don't know if it's carefree because they're
not because they care.
They're
yeah.
intense.
I don't know how the hell do you explain
you know what
that?
It is, Landry? It's a hunger. I was right the first time. They play with a hunger that they want to prove something, and they're intense, and they want to show you that they belong. I love that. Now, maybe that changes in the postseason because it's a different environment. The pressure ratchets up, et cetera. But, again, I'll go David Culley. I'm good. I'm good with these guys. I think the bullpen needs to be bolstered and other places here and there, and certainly base running, as you pointed out. But for the most part, you're picking nits there. I like the starting rotation. I would want this guy there all the way to the end, Fromber.
Where does he fit into this rotation? He's
got to have a lefty.
He's got to be one of your top three guys.
Got to have a lefty. You said it. Did you say Fromber was the number three guy yesterday?
I think Fromber is my number three guy.
More so than Odorizzi. I like Odorizzi's kind of, his experience or whatever, what he's been through. But in terms of, like I said, that intensity and just that style that he has and aggressiveness, I might be leaning more toward you, toward Fromber as well now. Plus, he's, you know, that you got to have that arm in there.
I'm intrigued by Odorizzi. I don't know what to really expect from Odorizzi because we don't know him very much. We haven't seen enough of him. I liked what I saw the last time he was out there against the Padres. Would have liked to have seen him get out of that inning, but I don't know where he fits in. I don't know how you handle this situation. I think if there was ever a time to experiment with a potential six-man rotation, this would be it. But I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to have to piggyback guys.
No, there's never going to be a six, I don't think. Except for an outlying situation where somebody has to sit out for a start or something. Five you can get away with, but you got to use these guys, and maybe one of them can just bolster the bullpen.
Did you like Dusty sending Fromber back out there in the seventh? Because I know I like to subscribe to the former Rockets coach Jeff Van Gundy line of thinking where it's, you know, don't ignore in victory what you would not ignore in defeat. I'm not going to lie. It was on the run sheet. I don't know if you saw it, but after Fromber walked off the mound in the sixth inning, I put his final line on there.
Yeah.
And I put that, you know, he had 31 pitches in the first, and then I put it in the sixth. I put six inning pitched, I think three hits. I think he had eight strikeouts at the time or something like that.
He ended with nine, right?
Yeah. And I had it in there, and I already had laid out, you know, I assumed that was when we were going to see the bullpen. And Fromber goes back out there in the seventh. Now, this has happened many times with Fromber, and maybe he's just built a little bit different because it seems like Dusty has been loose with other guys, but he's willing to put Fromber back out there. But I was surprised with just his second outing of the year, given the fact that he appeared to just have that momentum. It obviously worked out, but did you think that Fromber was going to trot back out there for the seventh? Because I did not.
I did not either. But I found myself, you know, kind of thinking that I think he told Dusty, you know, how he, you know, they always talk to him, obvious pitching coach, Brent Strom and the manager. I think they were convinced that he had that other inning in him. But he's just, he has that, you know, I think he convinced him, you know, how well he felt. And there was not going to be any denying him there.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. What'd you think of seeing Yordan out in left field? Kind of gave me a little bit of a heart attack. I did not like watching Yordan out there in the outfield.
Well, keep in mind, the outfield is what got him in trouble in the first place with some of his lower body injuries. So I did like, you know what? You know, Dusty's had some moments where we could criticize him. I did like his philosophy on why he wanted to trot him out there. He'd been taking a lot of balls out there, taking some outfield. You had a ground ball pitcher, so it was going to be relatively, you know, not a lot of business out there, and it's at home, so it's a smaller left field. If you're going to do it, I liked it. I didn't really feel that bad because he's been moving around great. Everything we've seen from Yordan, he's been moving around just fine. Now, he's not out there today for today's lineup.
Yeah, you actually have Taylor Jones out there in left field, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
But he's going to go out there in left field. We'll see what goes on. It is worth monitoring how Michael Brantley's knees feel because this is – I mean, it's you could have worse problems, but if this is going to be an issue moving forward, you might see a situation where Yordan Alvarez is out there in left field more than many would probably like.
I
like
you wonder about DH. Brantley more.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last year with the sore knees. He is 32 years old.
Yeah.
There could be some talk, and Dusty threw it out there, that we see Yordan playing first base whenever Yuli needs a night off. But with the way Yuli's hitting and the way he's been playing, I don't know, and how good he is in the field, I don't know how many times I want to see Yuli, you know, getting a night off.
Yeah.
Although you can move Yuli to the corner infield or whatever. There's a lot of possibilities. I just want to get back to the situation where Michael Brantley's in left field, Yordan Alvarez is DH, and the Astros keep pitching pitching. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Still silence when it comes to the Deshaun Watson situation, and his replacement will speak in less than a few hours. We'll give you the latest from NRG. Practice about to be underway. We'll update you on everything going on next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
David Culley going to meet with the media 3 hours. You got to think the way that the Deshaun Watson question has been asked, it's going to be asked again because they're leaving a lot of like stuff up for interpretation. It's almost as if they're acting as if Deshaun Watson could still show up. This was the last time that David Culley met with the media. Christy Reakin and Sarah Barshop speaking with the head coach of the Texans, who you'll hear in about 3 hours on the afternoon show with Clinton Ron.
Hey, Coach, I was just wondering, has Deshaun been at the facilities at all? And if not, have you heard from him or do you expect him to be there at all this offseason?
We have nothing more to say. We've talked about the Deshaun situation with Nick and I both and with Cal, and nothing's new on that.
So he has not been to the facility at all?
I have nothing to say about that situation.
Hi, David. I just wanted to clarify what you said about the participation and having everyone on Zoom. Do you mean that everyone on the roster has been taking part in the Zoom meetings since OTAs have started?
Yes, everybody's been on the Zoom meetings.
Including Deshaun Watson?
I have nothing to say about Deshaun at this point.
Look, it's almost you touched on it. It's almost like they're just asking to be put in these awkward positions. But you know why? Because they are asking for it. There's a way to handle it and not handle it. We haven't talked to him, and that's that, and that's about all we can say right now. You can't keep leaning on that. You know, he's got this litigation going on, and we prefer not to talk about it when they're not asking about that. They're asking about the Zoom meetings for the football team, attendance at football OTAs, about him being participating in some of your meetings. That has nothing to do with. I mean, it does in a roundabout way, but I'm saying the question has nothing to do with his litigation right now. And they're asking for it. They're avoiding it. I feel, Landry, you know, we're talking about, you know, Sean Pendergast is going to be joining us about 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, David Culley and Tyrod Taylor going to meet with the media types. You'll hear it with Clinton Ron in the afternoon.
Sean's going to be giving us a report from practice there.
2 o'clock-ish.
Right.
1 o'clock hour.
And then we're going to be listening to those press conferences. And Tyrod Taylor is kind of like the headline. David Culley is going to speak again today, too. I think that's very important because David Culley, unless something happens before then that they talk about or release or say or whatever, he's going to go through this exact same thing. Why are they doing that to the man? I mean, I know they're paying him to do that, but why are they doing that when you can avoid it?
You think this is fun for David Culley?
No. No, everything about this job is fun for him.
No.
It is a perfect.
You sure?
Think about it.
Well, I took this job simply because there's 32 of these in this league.
Look, no. I don't think like this notion that David Culley is being set up for failure is silly because this is the only situation.
Yeah.
Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien have created a situation to where the talent on the roster is so low, the expectations are so low, and quite honestly, winning. Isn't realistic, and I don't even know if it's front of mind right now because there is a rebuild going on. And this is the only situation, on top of the questionable decision-making at the top with Cal McNair, this is the only situation where David Culley would ever become a head coach. There's a reason he wasn't a coordinator before. There's a reason that really he didn't have a lot of desires to be a head coach if you listen to him and you listen to people around him and you listen to guys who have the utmost respect for him because he seems like a great guy. If you hear them describe what he's good at, it's really just, it always goes back to he's a nice guy. So I don't think he's like some sort of like, I don't feel sorry for David Culley. And I think he does have a perspective where he appreciates and understands that. He said it himself. Like, you know, basically, why would they hire me? Yada, yada, yada. He said that. But with that said, I mean, the guy's been in the NFL for 3 decades. he's collected a pretty nice check. He doesn't strike me as someone who's going to blow his money or anything like that. I bet he's got a lot of money in the bank. He's been a receiver coach. He's been a passing game coordinator. He hasn't had to go up and meet with the media and talk about this type of stuff. And quite honestly, he's been part of organizations that have had more success than what we expect the Texans to have right now. Mm-hmm. Do you think there could be a point where this doesn't become fun for him? And he's just kind of like, man, I would rather be a receiver coach for Andy Reid or John Harbaugh or hell. You've heard him talk about go to Tennessee and coach high school. Like, do you think there's a point where David Culley, I'm not saying he's like going to break. I mean, he's a great dude. He has great perspective. But is there a point where he says, man, this isn't very fun?
No. Short answer is absolutely not. This is his retirement job, man. This is, there's an old saying, it's a bird's nest on the ground.
This is it.
It's a bird's nest.
Say that again. This is his what?
A bird's, this is his retirement job. Landry, it is. This is his
retirement. No, I know, but when you say that, man, like, we're talking about an NFL franchise.
Yes.
And you're talking about a retirement job.
This is.
He's not a Walmart greeter.
No, and that's why he's not.
He's not a marshal at the golf course.
That's why he's happy. That's why he's absolutely.
That is the most enlightening thing you've ever said to me, and you know what? It makes sense. I'm not pushing back on it.
Yeah.
And really, I've said all that without saying it. But when you put it that way, this is his retirement job. That is absolutely brilliant. But you got to think about what you think of when you think of a retirement job. That's nuts.
Right. You know, that's why they can ask him to do anything,
bro.
And he'll do, what's he making, $3.5 million, something like that?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You say he's made a lot of money. He's made a lot of money for regular people, probably in the six figures.
Regular people.
Like,
what kind of regular people are you talking?
I'm saying.
Let's get some Migos in here, Figgy.
I said a lot regular of money people. For regular people.
David Culley's made a lot of money for regular people. What kind of regular people are you talking about?
Regular people.
Good God.
Look, but he has, in the football world, he hasn't made a lot of money. He's been a high six-figure, mid six-figure guy, probably at the most, as associate head coach.
John,
that's a lot of money.
This is what you.
That's what I'm saying. For regular people, that's a lot of money.
Maybe not John.
But not for the NFL.
But you look at this. You just look at what a retirement job is. If you're just tuning in, David Culley going to meet with the media around two. Same with Tyrod Taylor. John Lopez says this is a retirement job. I don't necessarily disagree. But you look at a retirement job, okay? There's marshals at golf courses that get that take that as
you
a retirement job because you
greeters
get
greeters at Walmart.
Greeters at Walmart. Mm-hmm. My dad does a mentorship program with kids. I don't
volunteers
even know if he gets paid
to
it. Volunteers at churches. Two of my best friends, the twins, the Watson twins, their mom worked at an antique shop. Like there's hobbies type of stuff.
Yeah.
This is an NFL head coaching
job.
People
selling crafts.
And you're talking about a damn retirement
job, bro.
People
selling their crafts at fairs.
Think about what you just said.
It is. This is David.
No, I'm not saying it's not, but that's nuts.
It's absolutely nuts. But I'm just trying to.
Retirement job.
I'm just trying to illustrate the point. They can. He went from, I don't even know what he made as an associate head coach. I'm guessing 500,000 somewhere in there, right?
You make it sound like it's like he's getting like a stimulus check or something like that.
But in the NFL, that's not a lot of money.
I appreciate that.
In the NFL money, that is not a lot. And he's been doing it for 30 years or whatever. All of a sudden, you ask me, you go from 500, give me $3.5 million?
But what does he need? This dude doesn't need money. Dude. You think this guy spending? You see the way the guy dresses. He ain't not Deshaun Watson. He's not blowing money like Deshaun.
What do most of these guys do? He's going to be like Kwame Brown. He's going to buy a big old piece of property somewhere in the South. He's going to get.
He already has one in Tennessee. He already has a home
with
a lot of land.
A brand new tractor. He's going to put a pond in. He's going to fish off the dock. He's going to live large in his world of large anyway. He will do anything they ask. The only thing he doesn't like is this, is when he has to not be the happy guy that's always
positive.
No, but
as the season goes on, does it become less enjoyable? That's my question. Like, right now, yes, there's not much going on. But when you're a creature of habit, when you've done a certain thing for three decades and you're in this spot, you don't really need it.
Yeah.
Like, at what point does it become not that enjoyable? Like, if you were going to hire someone who probably wasn't going to get a head coaching job anytime soon, why not like Pep Hamilton? Pep Hamilton, I mean, he's not really on the trajectory to get an NFL head coaching job, But I'm sure he would buy into the process. So why not a guy like Pep Hamilton? And I'm not saying Coley's not the wrong guy for this situation, because I don't think winning is front of mind. Mm-hmm. But why not a guy like a Pep Hamilton, someone like that? You couldn't have done this with Bieniemy. Bieniemy would not have taken this crap. Bieniemy is going to drive everyone nuts. Him and Nick Caserio might end up fighting. Like, you couldn't have done that.
No.
So in this situation, that wouldn't have made sense. That wouldn't have been good for him either. But why not a lower level guy like a Pep Hamilton? Why not a Jim Caldwell?
I don't know if it sounds. I feel so bad doing this because it's just bashing.
No, it's reality.
It's bashing him.
It's reality.
Would they have been able? Would they have wanted Pep Hamilton? Would want to? You know, any of these other coaching possibilities to be the head coach of the Texans would want to actually do that.
Right. David, you just described it as a retirement job, bro.
I'm telling you, that's what it is for him. Other guys would have wanted to, like, hey, I'm going to put my stamp
how
on
many,
it. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be. I mean, how much is David Culley really
times,
in charge of?
How many times do you hear a guy go up to the podium when he gets his first head coaching job and say, I took it because it's one of 32 jobs? And, you know, my dream job is actually to be an assistant coach at my high school.
Mm-hmm.
Not this. He didn't say, this is my dream. This is the dream that I want. He said, my dream is to be an assistant, not even the head coach, an assistant coach at my high school in Tennessee. You just described this as a Walmart greeter job. That is absolutely nuts. That is brilliantly nuts, John.
Yeah.
That is where we are right now.
I mean, I'd do it.
I'm going to enjoy the ride.
I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm intrigued by it. I'm buying into the process, but it is interesting when you put it that way so brilliantly.
I'm telling you right now, if I were offered that job and I had already heard all the stories about Jack Easterby and he's going to stab you in the back and he's power hungry and he's got the owner's ear, all the stories about how Deshaun Watson was leaving and the roster and J.J. Watt's gone and all that. And they asked me, hey, but would you want to be head coach for $3.5 million? Sure. I mean, absolutely. What do you need me to do? It's a retirement job.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The Astros going for the sweep. And a lot of crazy stuff going on in sports, including a nightmare that is going to begin in a couple of months. Please don't make me endure this next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Tyrod Taylor will speak. He was signed on March 22nd. This will be the first time that he has spoken. Here's Tyrod Taylor talking about Baker Mayfield back when he was in Cleveland. Kind of a similar-ish situation with Davis Mills. Here's how Tyrod Taylor handled it a few years ago.
I mean, of course, we wanted to welcome him in. He's a part of the team now. We're still learning, myself and him included, as well as just everyone on the team. So we're taking it day by day. But I think the relationship between us two is in a good space. I'm going to continue to keep being the person I am as well as him.
I fully expect Tyrod Taylor to just handle this perfectly. The questions are going to come, unless there's some crazy spin to the access. It's going to be on a Zoom call, and maybe there'll be some parameters that they can and can't ask, whatever. But I don't think there should be. This guy is going to be able to handle it, however, better than anyone could have expected. He's fine.
He'll be good. He'll be asked about Deshaun Watson. He'll say that he's just focused on what's going on there. And then David Culley will be asked about it again. It'll be interesting to see how he handles it, because last time it got a little bit tense when Christy and Sarah Barship spoke with him about that. Elsewhere in the NFL, June is upon us. Julio Jones, where is he going to go? We know that he will be traded before the start of the season. The question is, where? Indianapolis has been the team that's been mentioned by many as a team that could be potentially put over the top by acquiring Julio Jones. We've heard James Palmer, who used to work in this city, say that. We've heard Pat McAfee on Mad Dog Radio say that. Terrell Davis, NFL Hall of Famer, agrees. He thinks that Julio Jones and the Colts would be the perfect marriage.
How about the Indianapolis Colts getting my man Julio Jones? I mean, to me, you got a quarterback in Carson Wentz that you must supply a lot of pieces around him to make sure that his confidence is there. They've got one of the best run games in the game with Taylor and now Hines, and you got Max, so they got a real good backfield. You know, you got T.Y. Hilton is coming back. He's probably their leading receiver right there. So I think the Colts are a team that's knocking, right? They're a team that's competing in the AFC, and they're just on the cusp of being a team that we're saying is a legitimate contender for a Super Bowl.
This just seems like a popular opinion among many guys who are very well studied in the NFL, that Indianapolis just makes the most sense. For whatever reason, Seattle is the betting favorite. I don't understand that. They got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. But Indianapolis is the team. When you hear some of the most respected NFL guys speak about it, Indianapolis would be where the best fit would be, according to many of them.
I think Seattle is plausible. You know, obviously with the weapons they have. I think in terms of, like, for the NFL buzz and excitement, obviously this division, don't worry about the Texans, so it's going to be fine to see him in Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis would be the best place for him. I mean, with Wentz and Julio and then Reich and all that, I think the NFL would be all about it. I think it'd be great to watch.
I think Jacksonville would make a lot of sense. I heard Seth and Sean talking about that. Don't know how much Julio would love that. And then, of course, Tennessee. They appear to want him a lot. They lost a lot of offensive assets. Arthur Smith of the Atlanta Falcons, their new head coach, the former OC out there in Tennessee, he was asked about Julio Jones, if he expects him to report. He said, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. We shall see. A little bit of transparency.
Spoiler alert.
He won't. He could be traded sooner rather than later. That mm-hmm. that could happen very, very much so. It's just interesting how transparent this whole situation has been.
Funny how that works out, right?
To the slap out of nowhere with the DeAndre Hopkins thing.
Yeah. It's funny how that works out, and also how it works out where you've got teams that are clearly bidding for him and teams that are clearly, you've already heard mentioned a first-round pick. I think maybe second rounder is going to be in there. But the Falcons are playing it just perfect. They're going to get a good haul for him, even at his age.
Astros yesterday, 2-1 win. Framber Valdez on the bump, 7 innings, 1 run on 5 hits, 10 strikeouts. In the first inning, he threw 31 pitches. Second inning, through the 7th, he threw 71 pitches. Here was Framber Valdez being asked about his performance in going 7 innings strong for the Astros yesterday against the Red Sox. Okay.
He's right. A dog.
Yeah. Dang. Some intensity right there. You can just feel it when Framber speaks. Here is what it sounded like in the crowd when Framber Valdez made his exit. Feel it, man. A lot of athletes, you can just feel the intensity. Fromber's one of those guys. You feel it, and you can hear it, and you can sense it, and I think he can feel it as well. This was Framber Valdez being asked about just the energy at the ballpark. At full capacity, Framber Valdez didn't know if he was going to get the start this year. This is Framber Valdez being asked about that energy. He can feel it.
Man.
He can feel it.
He could. He's a dog.
Here's the real Framber Valdez, courtesy of his translator. He was on the field with Julia Morales after the game. This is the real words of Framber Valdez.
There was a time where you didn't know if you were going to pitch this season, and here you are with two great, strong, really good starts to begin your season here in 2021. What has allowed you to do that?
Yeah, first I just have to thank God, having faith in God to have the ability to come back this year. Also, just be able to believe my own capabilities. And I had to overcome a lot of obstacles this year, but I believed in myself at every turn of the way, and I just knew that if I kept working and getting after it, that I'd be able to get back to this year and to be able to help out the Houston Astros.
How about right now? Four-game winning streak. How does it feel right now? How's this team feeling?
You guys are having a lot of fun. We're playing really good baseball. We're looking forward to the game tomorrow, and after that, hopefully just keep it rolling and keep putting on a show for the fans of Houston.
Gracias to both of you.
Thank you
so much.
Going for the sweep, Astros against the Red Sox. You want to talk about, I don't want to call it a 180, mm-hmm. but the mood over the weekend after those back-to-back extra inning losses with the Padres, it was dim. I mean, the sky wasn't falling, but you didn't feel great. Here you are. You could sweep one of the best teams in baseball, win your fifth straight game. This is amid the toughest stretch of the year. The Astros solidified yesterday with the dub, a winning record on the homestand. Sweeping the Red Sox goes a long, long way. Jake Odorizzi on the mound. We really don't know much about him. If Odorizzi goes out there and pitches a gem too, I don't think you can have too much pitching, but my gosh, the Astros would have a hell of a lot.
Well, pitching is it. I mean, what happened? Keep in mind, even the games that were heartbreaking, your starting pitching was keeping you in it. The bullpen was what got you in trouble. So yeah, I mean the starting pitching is good enough for me to go the rest of the way as far as they go. I got a little nervous when I saw some of these folks getting to, you know, warming up in the bullpen, but the starting pitching carried them through.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, 110 first pitch. Jake Odorizzi on the mound. Stroh's looking for that fifth straight dub. Yordan Alvarez in left field yesterday. We know that he had the knee issues last year. I say it plural because he had both knees worked on over the offseason. Michael Brantley's also had some knee soreness. There's concerns about putting Alvarez in left field because of those knees. Here's an update from Dusty Baker today talking about how Alvarez is feeling after playing left field yesterday.
He didn't have many balls hit to him, and I haven't talked to him today. I haven't heard from Jeremiah. If there was going to be any soreness, it was just going to be from basically just running to your position, because I don't think he ran the bases yesterday, and he just had two plays that he didn't have to go far. So, no news, good news. I don't anticipate anything.
I actually felt okay about it. I mean, obviously, it's not ideal, but I actually felt okay about him in left field, especially given that it was a ground ball pitcher in front of him and smaller left field, and he's been working on it on off days and before games and such. It's not perfect, but I was okay with it. He's not in left field now. Taylor Jones is today, but I think they're gonna try to get more of that out of him. Unfortunately, that's probably because Brantley is not feeling terrific.
I mean, we talked about what a slime ball Jeff Luhnow was yesterday, and I stand by that. But my God, we reaped the benefits of Jeff Luhnow's work with Yordan Alvarez, Framber Valdez. I think it cost $20,000, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. To bring in Framber Valdez. Michael Brantley, I think one of his best free agent signings, along with Charlie Morton. For as much of a slime ball as Jeff Luhnow is, my gosh, his work, we still reap the benefits of it on a nightly basis with the only good team in town, the Houston Astros.
Well, and some of the acquisitions and such. I just, you can be good at your job and also slime ball. And I think that's what what he was. And then he got too ambitious and kind of organized, in my view, the whole cheating thing. And that's what got him out of here.
Rest in peace, Steve Jobs. Speaking of good at job and slime ball. NBA playoffs last night. So looking at the Eastern Conference, a lot of Rockets vibes there. You have James Harden in the Nets advancing to the second round. You have PJ Tucker in the Bucks advancing to the second round. Clint Capella backs up his talk. They advance to the second round, kind of pimp slap that New York hype that was presented. And then Daryl Morey, he's in the second round with his Philadelphia 76ers team. So all four teams represented by former Rockets. You also had some fat trimmed Utah sends
Memphis
home. Dallas takes a 3-2 lead over the Clippers. And tonight you're going to have Denver at Portland. Portland looking to avoid elimination. And then Phoenix at
Lakers. Losing, man.
Lakers lose. Their season is done as well. And for the first time, LeBron James would not get out of the first round.
Speaking of dogs, Trae Young is a dog like Fromber. Luka is a dog like Fromber. I watched the majority of the Knicks and Hawks, and they got something going on, especially facing Philadelphia. You know, short of Embiid, we'll see how much he plays. He was taking some work. He was doing some work before the game, so maybe he's not going to miss too much time. But what Luka did is, what is he, 22? Something like that?
He's 22 years old. He has four career 40-point playoff games. Nick Wright, he used to sit here, actually put this out, this crazy-ass stat. And when I say crazy-ass stat,
it's crazy.
This is an absolute crazy-ass stat. So Luka, in 11 career playoff games, he has four 40-point games.
Numbers are hot.
That's the same amount of 40-point playoff games as, wait for this, Carmelo Anthony, Tim Duncan, Dame Lillard, Kawhi Leonard, Karl Malone, as many as they had in their entire careers in 11 playoff games. It's more 40-point games than Kyrie Irving, Paul Pierce, Anthony Davis, Patrick Ewing, Moses Malone, the Greek Freak, and Isaiah Thomas.
That's crazy.
Numbers are hot.
He's 22. It's incredible. Talk about a dog. I wouldn't put anything past him at this point. You know, Figgy was talking before the show. That's called putting a team on your back, and I can totally agree with that.
Yes.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Today. Pretty eventful day in sports. You had Bob Baffert suspended 2 years by Churchill Downs. What did he do exactly? I don't pay attention to horse
racing. He drugged his horses, illegal drugs.
Oh, thanks for having sympathy, horse racing.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact you got a human being on top of the horse beating the crap out of it for 2 miles. Let's have some sympathy towards the horses and make sure not to pump drugs in them. Get the hell out of here.
Let's be clear about something.
You're making these horses train to run so that someone can sit on their back and beat the crap out of them for 2 miles, and all of a sudden you're worried about their drugs.
Miles.
Get the hell out of here. As soon as horses lose races, y'all turn them into glue, and all of a sudden you're worried about PEDs, kiss my ass.
All right, so that was an interesting rant. It was just completely incorrect. The reason they did it is because of the money that's gambled on these races, not because of some sympathy for the horses. There was some semblance of truth in what you were saying, but they suspended him because gamblers are pissed off, and they should be, because Bob Baffert cheats and drugs up his horses. And, oh, by the way, they're going to say it's also for the horse's safety, but
I'll get out of
we
here.
Know a little bit better than that. Yeah.
You're beating the crap out of that thing.
Yeah.
You got a whip.
They do.
They're holding a whip, beating the crap out of the horse, and all of a sudden we're worried about drugs?
You're not wrong.
There's no Larry David to that. That's an absolute truth. That is like When you talk about dominatrix and taking punishment.
Dominatrix?
The whip.
Who?
The whip. They literally have a whip, yes. And they hop on that horse's back and beat the crap out of it for 2 miles. And you're worried about drugs being in the horse?
It's because of the gambling.
The hell out of here. Get the hell out of here with that.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolute joke. 8156 on the text line. I kind of want you to call in. I need to get informed about horses. Give me some information that I need. Tell me what I've said that's wrong about horses. They don't get the crap beat out of them for 2 miles with someone on top of
usually
them whipping them?
Usually not 2 miles. It's usually a mile.
Okay. Yeah. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Most of these guys aren't drugged up. There's that. A lot of times afterwards, when they lose a race, they're basically turned into glue.
Not true.
Give
me
that.
They go out to the farm and they stud and they make millions of dollars.
Well, what about?
I'm a big horse racing fan. Not like a
oh really?
Geek, not a geek.
I didn't know that.
No, I'm a fan. I'm like a casual fan.
I need some information on horses. 8156, please.
I can give you some information.
To me. Got a little dude sitting on there beating the crap out of it with a whip.
When you work at the Chronicle for 17 years and travel by yourself, you go to a lot of horse tracks. I've had a lot of dinners by myself at a horse track, from Santa Anita to Churchill Downs to everywhere. I just like I like to go out there and have a good time.
All right, Jeremy's calling in. Fill me in on horses, please. I admit my ignorance on horses, sir.
Yeah, well, so one of the big comments that you made was they take them, they run them 2 miles, they turn them into glue.
Yeah.
That's, you know, one of the dumbest things that I've heard with the race.
I corrected him on that.
Okay. I just want to make sure because that one struck a nerve because those guys are treated like kings. I mean, you look at some of the way
kings,
they
put guys on their back and beat the crap out of them for 2 miles. That's a king.
What? You got guys that sign up to beat the crap out of each other for $200 half the time.
Yeah, that's their choice. What choice does the horse have? Like, do they ever ask the horse, how you feeling today? How's that ankle feeling? Do they ever do that? They treat the horse like a king?
Go pick a homeless guy up off the street and ask him if he'd rather live a nice life or a life in the wild.
So we've gone from kings to homeless guys. I feel like the goalpost is moving there, Jeremy. So we've gone from treating them like kings to a homeless guy analogy.
The homeless guy is the horses that are loose out in the wild that don't have anybody taking care of them. They're basically on their own. They gotta make it in the wild all by themselves. These guys, the ones that had the race horses, like it's just ridiculous how well they treat those horses. So that's what I'm trying to get.
I get you. Look, let me find the middle ground here.
Okay.
They do whip the horses. They are treated very well. They are run like crazy. So there's a lot of truth to
kings.
What you're saying. But they are treated like kings after.
Hey, king. I know that right now you're getting your royal piece cleaned. Like let's look at how kings are treated. These horses, yeah. They're forced to breed. This horse can just be sitting there eating grass.
Don't
and all
you
the-
wish you were?
No, I wouldn't do it on my own time. When kings are sitting there eating steak, they don't come in there and say, "Hey, drop what you're doing. You got to screw this queen right now, and you got to create something." Treated like kings, these horses are sitting there eating grass. All of a sudden, and it's that time. It's that time. Go ahead, king. Come on. Let's screw it so we can get another horse to have someone sit on its back and beat the crap out of it. Give me this. Horses are treated like kings. I don't care if you pump drugs into the horses. Don't sit there and act like you care about horses when these guys are basically forced to go out there and run. You've never asked a horse. Like, Dusty Baker could go up. In this athlete thing with horses, too, like, Dusty Baker could go up to Yordan Alvarez right now and say, "How you feeling, man? How's that ankle?" "Well, coach, I'm not going to do a Yordan impression. "Well, coach, it's a little bit sore. I'm not feeling very good. So, you know, I might need an off day." And Dusty Baker can say, "All right, let's give you an off day." You think horses have that option?
Horses do not have
Suck
that
it up. Suck it up.
You sound like a hardcore vegan right now.
Yes. Suck it up.
I will say this. As much as I enjoyed that, you don't realize – horses make most of their money after they stop racing.
Horses don't make any money.
Well, for their owners. After they stop racing.
Horses make
their
money.
All that breeding, if they're successful, is where they make their money.
5909 on the text line. Landry, have you been around a horse outside of petting zoo? Yes, neighbor had horses. And I saw a horse actually bite through my neighbor's chin one time. Impression.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I had to call the cops. She got me from school when I was sick. Shout out to Jan Bullock. Yes, I saw her. I saw a horse bite through, and I got kicked by one. I've ridden a couple horses, so yes. And you know what? I didn't beat the crap out of it either. David Culley versus Korn in the countdown towards the first words of the Texans starting quarterback next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.